let's get right to it. We're in the studio now with Denise Roberts-Herlin, who is the founder, so I'm told, and the co-host for the Hudson Valley Dance Festival that's going to be taking place in Catskill. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
That's right.
So there's plenty of time, I think, to get your tickets.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about how to do that in a while. But Denise has a lot of kudos coming toward her for founding the organization, I think you were one of the founders of Dancers Responding to AIDS.
That is correct. Myself and Hernando Cortez.
Uh-huh. Mm. And it's interesting because I think people think that AIDS has gone away. I think some people really, it's not in the foreground as much as it was at one point.
Well, we're responding in a different way.
That's
for
right.
A little bit of a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 1991, which is when we founded DRA, while Hernando and I were still members of the Paul Taylor Dance Company.
Oh, you were a dancer?
Yes. And I was a founding member of Parsons Dance and a member of the Paul Taylor Dance Company.
Hmm.
And it was at that time where there were two dancers that were dying of HIV, dying of AIDS at that time.
In the company.
Very different time, yes. So we were responding because people were dying all around us. And the need, you know, when you're in the thick of it, you feel like you need to react, you need to respond. And so as a community, we came together. And in the beginning, we were just wanted our voice heard, I think. We wanted mm-hmm. to say, pay attention to these people that need help. And so one way that you sort of make people pay attention to you is, of course, you dance down Fifth Avenue in the Pride Parade. So we were doing that, marching in the Pride Parade in 1993 as dancers responding to AIDS. And we kept running into the group ahead of us because, of course, we would step back and let some space get between us, and then we would do different sort of combinations and dance things going down the middle of the parade. And the group ahead of us was like, who are you? And I'm like, we are dancers responding to AIDS. And Tom Viola, who's the executive director of Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, very astutely and very warmly said to Hernando and I, maybe you should come talk to me. So we became a program of Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS in 1993. And we remain so today.
And Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS is the parent organization?
Yes, we're a program of Broadway Cares.
I see.
So as opposed to setting up our own 501c3 and sort of doing it on our own, it was very self-evident that we are all part of the same performing arts community, so why not join our resources, come together, and it's all for the same cause. We want to help people. So I focus mostly on the dance community and therefore mm-hmm. continue to engage and unite us all together in support of those we serve. And you mentioned how, you know, it was different, or I mentioned it was different, obviously, in 1991 when we started, that need was different. And today, that need is still there. You know, the rate of HIV infection has remained constant. The mortality has changed. People are living with HIV.
So right.
And the young man who developed bloody Andrew Jackson just passed away from AIDS at 41.
Yes, yes.
Which took my breath away.
Absolutely. You know, and there's lots of different reasons. You know, people are not maintaining their medication. They have various different issues that relate to why they can't, whether it's socioeconomic, whether, you know, lots of different considerations. But, you know, it is very prevalent. And obviously for communities that are underserved, it's a much greater need, mm-hmm. you know. So that population of folks who were ringing the loudest bells, I would say, in the 80s and 90s, have come to be organized and say, you know, this is how you can help yourself and make sure that you as a person who is HIV positive, can lead a very productive, healthy life. And that is an important part of what we do. But, you know, there's no judgment. It's a virus, right? It's, and it continues to, you know, affect a lot of people. And whether you're, you know, the young, you know, the youth are always, youth is wasted on the youth sometimes. And so the face of AIDS has changed. So therefore, it you might not realize the person you're in the same room with has been living with HIV for 20 years, as opposed to in 1991, it was very self-evident that someone was very sick.
Yeah, that's what I remember those years very well. And it was really a scary time.
Very, very much so. Very
and
much so.
I went to more memorial services, I think, than I ever have in my life. And since you were right in the thick of it, you it was probably even more so for you.
Well, in 1996, when the introduction of protease inhibitors came available, and so therefore that sort of changed the mortality issue. It was now making sure people are taking medication, have the right services that they need. So that continues to be, those services are still needed. But it gave us a moment to sort of breathe, you know? It was like, okay, maybe now what our goal is not to help people die, but to help people live and to help, you know, maybe other populations. So Tom was really great in thinking, you know what, now that we have, nothing's under control, but it's different, maybe we should be supporting other aspects of the of performers' health and well-being. And so we began funding the Women's Health Initiative, the Phyllis Newman Women's Health Initiative at the Actors Fund. And that was an important moment to say women were at the forefront of supporting and caring and being those support system for so many people. And so therefore it was only right that we maybe show that support for that community as well. And so, you know, the way that the money that we raise now is distributed is in a couple of different ways. It's through our national grants program, where over 450 AIDS and social service programs around the country are awarded grants through us. And these are small mom-and-pop kind of organizations that really, that $5,000 grant really makes a huge difference within their budget. And they're very often supporting local organizations. You know, it's a very local-run kind of situation. And then the other half of our money, where that is distributed, is through social service programs at the Actors Fund, the AIDS Initiative, a housing initiative, substance abuse counseling, job training. So a whole host of things that are wonderfully needed. The Dancers Resource, special one of mine, of course, I'm on the advisory council for, as well as a new, which is really great, Friedman Health Center for the Performing Arts, right in the middle of Times Square, that really is going to service for those dancers, singers, actors, stage managers, whatever, that need that support, that are part of that community right there. But it's important to know that it's all across the country what we're doing. And I'm really proud to say right here in Hudson Valley that the work that we are doing, not only at Hudson Valley Dance Festival, but also everything that we're doing, is contributing to help sustain organizations around here. So we're very happy. I have to change my glasses because, you know, I'm old and I can't see anymore. do I read this right?
As you're sitting in a studio with people all who have glasses on, they're taking them on and off to see various ways.
I haven't gotten to the bifocal phase, but I will. I know I will. But we for this year, there are 11 organizations in the Hudson Valley area that we awarded grants to. You know, and it ranges from the Alliance for Positive Health in Albany to Animal Kind and Columbia Green Community Foundation here in Hudson, as well as Hudson Valley Community Services in Hawthorne, Matthew 25 Food Pantry in Catskill, Rojan Food Pantry in Hillsdale. Mm. So these are all, you know, really vital programs that are very, you know, they're needed in these communities.
And how did,
So it's important.
It is important. And like Ellen, one of my very best friends died in early 1996 of AIDS right before the cocktail.
Yes, yes.
And it was tragic because months later, things were beginning to change.
Yes.
And I still miss him today because he was a life force. But how did you end up here in the Hudson Valley?
Well,
and specifically in Catskill.
Well, it's a really good story. So we've been producing an event called the Fire Island Dance Festival out in the Pines in Fire Island. And it seems forever, 1995 was our first year. And three Catskill residents who work in New York, but they have homes in Catskill now, Duke Dang, Charles Rosen, and Todd Whitley.
And I know Duke.
Oh, well, Duke's fabulous.
I know Duke's name. It's memorable.
Yes,
but
it is memorable. And so they had attended the festival on Fire Island. They were like, hey, what about Catskill? And I was intrigued. And so they invited me up to tour around. And we went to a couple of different places. And initially, I think they had this hope and dream of being right under the bridge and being an outdoor event. And all I could see was, oh my gosh, we have to carry all the stuff down that hill.
Mm-hmm.
and it seemed a little unrealistic to me in that, you know, prospect. Plus, I knew we'd wanted to capture the beauty of the fall. You know, I think it's a really special time here at that time of year. So we thought maybe Columbus weekend would be great. And so we happened upon the historic Catskill Point, which is just a magnificent space right on the bank of the Hudson River. And then, of course, the beautiful Rip Van Winkle Bridge. It's right there as well. And so we kind of transformed this space, this raw space, into a theatrical experience. But you still know you're in that space. You still know you're in Catskill, as opposed to, I could be in a theater anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just really a great idea. So.
Well, I think this festival has been a real leader because suddenly there's a lot of dance going on.
Well, there is.
What happened? I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, you know, I'd like to take credit, but I don't think I can, but I would love to.
Well, you
I'm
were
sure
there.
You had an influence, and you were there before many of the others.
We were.
This is your
true.
Fifth year?
This is our fifth year. That's
it's amazing
correct.
How time does fly. Are you familiar with PS21 in Chatham?
Absolutely.
And their dance program?
Absolutely. Judy Grunberg is a wonderful supporter of the festival.
She loves dance. She's
she
just
sure
crazy
does,
about
and
it.
She presents a plethora of things as well, and it's just terrific. And I'd like to think that, you know, what's good for me is good for Catskill, is good for the community, it's good for everyone, so that helping each other, it's about that.
And now the American Dance Institute, renamed
Lumberyard,
is going to be in Catskill.
It's right in Catskill, and hopefully their construction will finish next fall, I think, possibly.
That's what they're aiming for, I think.
Yeah, but
and
you know, with construction.
Stephen Petronio.
Oh, Crow's Nest in Cairo, yeah. It's a terrific space. If you haven't been up there, I definitely
I've heard about it.
And Steven's fantastic. His company performed in the first Hudson Valley Dance Festival. Uh-huh. So I, you know, like I said, I've been around a while. So you get to know people. That's the beauty of getting older.
And Adam Weinert premiered a dance at the Hudson Opera House.
Yes.
Called Monument, all about Ted Shawn and
and the pillows,
Jacob's
not far
pillow,
away.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, here we are in the thick of it. Who knew that there was going to be so much dance around?
Well, especially
wonderful.
When painting, you know, like Thomas Cole, you know, that I think is so closely associated with this area, that idea in Olana and everything, where the visual arts is certainly something that is a pride here in,
exactly.
in this area. But for those of you who received an invitation, you can notice that there's a Thomas Cole painting is part of the backdrop. So we're trying to capture the essence of that beauty.
Now, before we go on too long, I just want to remind our listeners that this is WGXC 90.7 on your dial, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, the voice of Greene and Columbia counties, and we're here with Denise
Roberts Herlin, founding director of Dancers Responding to AIDS.
Right, and with Ellen Thurston and Matthew Tombers, and we are talking about a performance that is going to happen on October...
on October 7th at the historic Catskill Point in Catskill, New York at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m., and it is a benefit for Dancers Responding to AIDS.
Now, we were thinking about this earlier. Ellen and I were having a little conversation in our shabby chic green room and we're wondering, is it the same company both at 2 p.m 4 p.m and 7 p.m or 2 p.m and 7 p.m?
Yes,
it is the same.
It's the same show, correct, and we have lots of different little side events that are happening as well. A cocktail party in between the shows, a VIP reception after the 5 p.m. show.
Well, I see you're having some fancy thing for New Yorkers, a bus with champagne and cocktails. And
well, they first...
Sounds like fun, almost worth going to New York for.
Right, to come back. Yes.
Come back.
Come back up. Yes, we're having a day trip excursion this year where the bus leaves from Midtown Manhattan, comes up, and they stop at Thomas Cole House first. Betsy Jacks was wonderfully supportive of having us come and tour, having the group tour the home, and then a nice champagne brunch at Port of Call right next door. Love that Frank Guido.
I love that place.
I know, right?
It's a hoot. Place. You sit there and watch the boats on it's Catskill Creek right there, isn't
right.
it?
Oh, no, I've never been there. I should
yeah,
go sometime.
Yeah, it's terrific. You should go.
Yeah.
And so that we'll have a little brunch, champagne brunch there, and then they'll be able to come to the 2 o'clock performance. So, and then we have a tent outside, and so there'll be a nice little reception in between the shows, and then a VIP reception with a dance with a cast afterwards. So, yeah, it's really fun.
I'm sure Duke will be there.
I'm sure Duke will be there. He better be there. Yes, he'll be there.
Well, I was going to invite Duke for dinner that night, but I'm not going to be able to do it. I'll have to do it another night.
You'll have to wait, yes.
Yes.
Well, you could do it later.
I don't think so.
Matthew, did I give you the list of dance companies?
Did you give me the list of dance?
Because I was curious about...
Would you like me to let
you
know?
Yes, you did, as a matter of fact. And I brought them into the studio, and I have to put my glasses on so I can... read this, but Denise, tell us about the dancers themselves. Who's dancing?
Well, you know, dancers love to dance, so they, if their schedule allows, they always say yes. So they're just such a joyous, wonderful, generous group of people. So this year we have two gentlemen, Michael McBride and Sam Roberts from Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, performing a piece by Robert Battle, who's the artistic director of ALA. And we also have Momix performing. We're going to do a fun trio.
What is Momix?
Momix is, how to describe Momix? There's, it's sort of like they a lot of their dance has a lot of illusion to it. So suddenly you think you're seeing one thing, and suddenly they're changing their body. They transform. Yes. Wonderfully, wonderfully entertaining, very difficult, and just fun. So if you ever haven't seen Momix, that they're...
You know, I used to work at the New York State Council on the Arts, and I didn't give money away, but I did all the publications. I think I did 13 annual reports. Okay. So I'm familiar with the names of dance companies during that era.
During that era.
But Momix is a new one to me.
They've been, I want to say, 1985. Is when
1985?
Started. Yes. So they've been around. They perform at the Joyce Lab. They tour internationally and all across the country. So they're based in Connecticut. And who's also... So Rob Ashford, Tony Award winner Rob Ashford, who choreographed...
Who's both a Tony and Emmy Award winner.
Oh, right. He did an Emmy, too. Go Rob. Mm-hmm. And he is...
I'm very impressed.
He's a resident of... the Hudson Valley as well, and the duet from Carousel that he choreographed at the Chicago Lyric Opera will be performed by two dancers that are stalwarts of his. Serial Collective, which is a new company founded by Jeffrey Serio and Leah Serio. And Jeffrey is a principal dancer to American Ballet Theater, and Leah is a principal at the Boston Ballet. So there'll be three Boston Ballet dancers performing, coming in to perform for that. We have Joshua Beamish move the company. And Josh is a up-and-coming choreographer who has worked with Wendy Whalen, as well as the Royal Ballet and such. He's Canadian, but he does a lot of work here in New York. And he's doing an excerpt of a piece that will be presented at BAM the week after. So we're getting a little taste. And Sonia Taya, who is an Emmy Award-winning choreographer as well, is presenting a duet on the program. So we've got a lot.
Now, a question that I'm curious about that just kind of flashed into my brain is, do you dancers responding to AIDS perform other times of the year than the time you're here in Catskill and in other places?
Yes. So as a program of Broadway Cares, we produce probably 40 events a year.
Wowza. Wow.
Lot of stuff.
Wowza.
And but for DRA, the focal point of our year is the Fire Island Dance Festival, which is always the third weekend in July out in the Pines. It'll be July 20, 21, 22, and 2018. And that'll be our 24th year. And then the Hudson Valley Dance Festival, which is always Columbus weekend. And then we produce some young dance events. So I, you know, about 10, 15 years ago, I was like, well, parents will love to have their children perform. So why not get them involved and engage them and do something for somebody else instead of just for themselves kind of thing. So we produce a lot of young dancer events called Stars of Tomorrow. And, you know, we have a lot of different programs that happen on and off. But those are our two main focal events for our season.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, we're very lucky and have had just all kinds of dancers. You know, I really believe it's important to showcase all types of dance because we serve all types of artists. You know, whether you are, you know, a dancer that dances in the bowels of Brooklyn at a small space, or you're at New York City Ballet or on Broadway, it doesn't matter. That dancer can be served as a professional through all of these wonderful services provided at the Actors Fund.
Right.
So,
and
so it's important.
You know, dancing is such a passionate profession, partly because it's very much like an athlete's. It burns out earlier than people would like.
Everybody wakes up in their 40s someday, so yes, that's true. And you generally don't want to leave the ground or go to the ground.
What do all those dancers do? They teach?
I think a lot of people segue into different kinds of things, but a lot of folks teach. A lot of people, I think, get into like the healing arts, physical therapy, massage, Pilates, you know, body work, those kinds of issues. A lot of administrators, you know, dancers we're very good multitaskers. So I, you know, certainly never thought I would end up as a producer, end up as this sort of artistic executive director type person in the job that I have now. But, you know, you find creative ways to bring yourself out there and figure it out.
Mm-hmm. It really is just, that is one of the things that always has amazed me about dancers. Because of all the arts, it is the most athletic and most demanding and taking its toll on the body.
Yes. And I will, it's fortunate now, I think, that dancers are smarter today than 30 years ago. You know, where it was, the show must go on. Well, yes, the show can go on, but somebody else possibly can do your part if you are physically not able. And so in really understanding your body and taking care of it and being kind to your
I just
bones.
Remember Merce Cunningham dancing with those feet that looked like you could hardly walk with them.
The first time I was a student, I went to Purchase College as a dance conservatory there, and one of our dance history assignments, we had to go, you know, go to a performance and write about it. And I went to Cunningham. This is probably 1981, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally had never seen him or heard of him. So, you know, mm-hmm. as my 18-year-old self, 19-year-old self. And he had, his toes were so scrunched. His foot was so scrunched. And I literally was like, is this a choice? Is he making a comment on something?
Can he not do this?
And it turned out he had arthritis.
He was the sweetest guy, though.
Yeah.
Well, what is there anything else we need to know? We do need to know how to get tickets.
Well.
And, of course, we can't mention prices on the air.
We can't, but I can say there's something for everyone. So don't worry about it. It's worth the investigation. At dradance.org online, you can find us.
DRA.org?
DRADance.
DRADance.org.
Correct.
DRADance.org.
Should I say the phone number? That's
sure.
212-840-0770 for more information. And, you know, one more thing I'd like to say, too, is that we've just, because of the work we do, because we're able to do such great work, we're able to support and help in a moment of crisis. So just yesterday, $400,000 went out to different organizations in Florida and Puerto Rico to help those with from Irma and Maria. We had already sent $175,000 down to six different organizations in Texas after Harvey.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, it's just an important thing for everyone to know that we're dancers, we're performers. Our name is Dancers Responding to AIDS, but we're really responding to a lot of needs for a lot of people.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your admirers are surrounding you.
Look at all of them. Look at all of them.
Anyway. So you're not thinking that the money you're sending to Puerto Rico is going to dancers specifically.
No.
It's the general population.
Absolutely. And like I was talking before, we've been able to really expand our mission mm-hmm. because we're getting such tremendous support. And it, you know, it certainly is helping people living with HIV, but it's also helping, you know, you strengthen the community, you're going to strengthen those people as well. So it's a very, very important thing that these underserved communities are helped.
Happy to see that you gave money to Animal Kind, which is an organization dear to my heart, because my two kittens came from there. And they do really great work. And I'm thinking of, you know, they take in stray cats, but they also, I believe, take in cats from, you know, the elderly who are worried about where their cat is going to go after they're gone.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes.
For example.
Yes.
And didn't they bring some animals up from Texas?
They might have. Yeah, I think maybe they did.
I think they did. If I'm remembering correctly, they actually brought up some animals that were lost in the storm.
Oh.
Well, you know, animals are a great comfort, whether you have an illness or don't. So I think a lot of these organizations mm-hmm. are really supporting a lot of the populations that we want to support as well. And I will admit that Tom Viola, our executive director, is quite an animal lover. So that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it's they do wonderful work. I admire Katrina and everything that group of people does.
Yeah.
Well, and the food pantries, too, that we're supporting. And, you know, that really grew for us after the recession started.
Hmm.
Because suddenly, those aid service organizations that had food banks and such started to open up their doors to the larger community because there were so many, you know, food insecure folks that needed those resources. So we started thinking, wow, we need to sort of focus on that. So one of our grant rounds, we have three grant rounds a year, and one is just for food. Because that, again, if you're healthy, you're going, you know, taking your medications, all is going to be better. So maintaining good food sources is always an important part of the process as well. So mm-hmm. it's been a great thing. So that's really expanded in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very nice.
So to our listeners once more, October 7th at historic Catskill Point, they call it.
Yes.
That big building down by the river.
And at 2 and 5 p.m.?
Correct.
A performance by Dancers Responding to AIDS. And you can find out more at www.dradance.org.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for what you've done. Wait a minute.
Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, welcome. It's so
Hope
great.
Hope to see everyone on the 7th.
Yes, absolutely. How great. Well, let's see. Ladies and gentlemen, we are WGXC 90.7. We're in Acre, Catskill, Hudson. We're the voice of Green in Columbia County, Green County being where the Dancers Responding to AIDS will have their performance at Catskill Point. And we're going to take, I think, just a little moment to have a little music. We're going to have a little, let's see, how about Lavian Rose with Lee Armstrong? Ah, I think that sounds good.
I thought you were going to get tap dancing with Fred Astaire.